Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter 9. Verse 2 tells us that the first people to resettle the land after captivity from Babylon were the Levites. Verse 2 reads, "Now the first to resettle on their own property in their own towns were some Israelites, priests, Levites, and temple servants." This is significant because it shows that God is going to be established first. The worship of God goes first here. It's going to be the priority now. The people have screwed up and they knew it. The last thing they wanted to do was forget God and be guilty again of what verse 1 calls unfaithfulness, pointing to it as the reason they got carried away in the first place. Now that they're back, the first thing they do is reestablish faithfulness in worship. We get a deeper glimpse into them taking responsibility for worship seriously when we read, "These were the gatekeepers belonging to the camp of the Levites." Verse 19, "Shallum, son of Korah, the son of Ebiasaph," there's a name for your big book of Bible names, "the son of Korah and his fellow gatekeepers from his family, the Korahites, were responsible for guarding the thresholds of the tent, just as their ancestors had been responsible for guarding the entrance to the dwelling of the Lord. In earlier times, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, was the official in charge of the gatekeepers, and the Lord was with him. Zechariah, son of Meshelemiah, was the gatekeeper at the entrance to the tent of meeting." We see examples of this all throughout the Bible. For example, covenant faithfulness, or putting God first in worship, is seen when Noah first gets off the ark. The very first thing he does is build an altar. When Abraham first pitched a tent, wherever he went, whether it was among the terebinth trees at Mamre or anywhere else, the very first thing Abraham always did was build an altar, a place to worship God. As one commentator said, "Wherever Abraham had a tent, God had an altar." What about you? Does God have an altar wherever you go? Is God the first consideration in your day? Or is he an afterthought at the end? Does he get the first fruits of your mind, heart, and soul? Or what's left over after you've spent yourself on everything else? Well, let's look at a quick breakdown of this chapter. Verse 3 through 17 maps out the descendants of the tribe of Levi that return. Verses 22 through 24 tell us about the duty of the gatekeepers. By the way, the gatekeeper was a name for the steward of the house of God, the servant. Remember when David said in the Psalms, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than the king of a palace?" In verse 27, we see that the Levites are stationed around the house of God to guard it. You see, we've got to protect our worship. We've got to encamp ourselves and guard it carefully that nobody or no one comes and steals away from us the most precious thing we have. Remember that even when Paul and Silas were put in prison on Paul's second missionary journey in the city of Philippi, no one could take from him his ability to worship God. They could take his freedom. They could even take away whatever he had in his possession, but when they locked him up in body, they couldn't lock him up in soul. And there you see Paul and Silas in the middle of the night singing. As their praises echo down the corridors of that prison, surely every prisoner must have wondered, what on earth is going on? Even the jailer himself comes to faith, partially because of the earthquake that set him free, but partially because of what he'd seen before. Now, these stewards were also in charge of the treasures. There were treasures in the house of God. There were platters of gold and silver and all kinds of instruments that you read about in the books of Moses. But these Levites would care for them, clean them, and others would take care of mixing the spices, the incense, the oil, and baking the showbread. And yet still, another bit of the tribe was over the music. Now, the coolest thing about this chapter is that serving God, if you haven't figured out by now, doesn't just look like one thing. It looks like anything you do. It can bring you great joy. If you like baking, you can serve God with that. If you like making things like those that made the incense and the oil, you can serve God like that. There were even skilled artists that had to craft things in the temple. That's part of serving God. And then there were people that just like carrying things and set up and tear down. And I've planted so many churches that I've witnessed people worshiping God as they do that, being stewards, doorkeepers in the house of their God. And you couldn't get them to trade that with anything else. I love the fact that serving God isn't a one-size-fits-all kind of deal. It can bring you joy because it's U-shaped worship. However you choose to serve God, God will take it from you, within reason. I don't think Naked Sundays is making a comeback anytime soon. Eric Liddell, Olympic champion, discovered the joy of serving God and what he's made you good at. For years, he'd wanted to go to the mission field, but he had this ability to run. In fact, he broke a world record. And when he went to the Olympics, he won the gold. But the problem was, he didn't run on Sundays. He was a devout Presbyterian, and he took Sundays off. He put God first, and in the movie Chariots of Fire, his sister sits him down to have a talk. You are supposed to go to the mission field. You know you have a call to serve God. Eric Liddell knew that he could serve God by running and be a witness and change history as he won the gold. He looked at his sister squarely in the eye and said, "Yes, that's true. God has called me to be a missionary, and I will be, but he has also made me fast. And when I run, I feel God smiling upon me." Eric Liddell broke the record, won the gold, but he also glorified God because he refused to run on a Sunday and won the Olympics anyways. Do you know why? Because worship to Eric Liddell came first. And by the way, that's what the showbread stands for, by the way, in the temple. There was a table with loaves of bread, 12 in all, to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And every day the priests would bake fresh loaves of bread and stick them there to remind the people of God that God always provides for us. If we'll trust him, just like the manna that came from heaven, God can show himself to be trustworthy. When Eric Liddell was tempted to run on Sunday, pushing God to the side, he had to resist that temptation and remember the principle. Put God first, and God will take care of you. That's why at the center of the house of worship in the Old Testament, that table of showbread was there to remind them, "Establish worship of me, and I will establish your well-being." That is part of the covenant promise that God made with his people. It all comes down, I suppose, to priorities. What's our priority? Binge-watching Netflix? Going to the gym and getting a ripping hot bod? Or maybe it's just getting a little more work done. Where's the worship of God taking priority in your life? Is it being pushed aside? Or is God being put first? Like the Levites returning first, always make God number one. Thanks for joining us today in 1 Chronicles 9, and we'll see you tomorrow on Through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.